If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Many are concerned that world events appear to be setting the stage for an unprecedented attack on the nation of Israel. The attack prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel approximately 2,600 years ago. However, today, I want to explore a psalm that seems to speak prophetically to us, and that psalm is Psalm 83. Many people wonder, what does this psalm reveal about the next end-time prophetic event? Are we seeing Psalm 83 begin to take place? Is this psalm linked to what happened or what is happening in Israel? Here are the first four verses. O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. This psalm makes reference to God's enemies. Now, who can be considered God's enemies? Well, to answer that question, you have to understand Psalm 135, verse 4, which tells us, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Israel is God's chosen treasure, according to the Bible, the treasure God called into existence for his purposes. Psalm 83, verse 5-8. For they conspire with one accord. Against you they make a covenant, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Jabal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher has also joined them. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot. And then, if we skip forward to verse 13, the Bible says, oh, my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. As the fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountains ablaze, so may you pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your hurricane. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High all over the earth. There are some strong words in this psalm. My God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. As the fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountain ablaze, so may you pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your hurricane. fill their faces with shame. Now, although there is not a universal agreement on this issue, most believe the Psalm 83 war and the Gog-Magog war will occur shortly before or shortly after the rapture. A few scholars believe the prophecies concerning the Psalm 83 war have already been fulfilled, but most believe that the conflict will unfold in the near future. And looking at current events, some scholars strongly believe that the Psalm 83 war is nearer than we think. Now, some may ask, what about Armageddon? Well, virtually all Bible scholars believe that the Battle of Armageddon will occur after the rapture and at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. The nation of Israel has been repeatedly attacked since her rebirth as a nation in 1948. Most Bible prophecies regarding Israel were written when Israel was not a sovereign and independent nation. For more than 2,000 years, all Hebrews were familiar with Ezekiel 37 and the prophet's prophecy about dry bones miraculously coming to life. They knew that those dry bones represented the nation of Israel. And for a moment, let's take a look at the Ezekiel 37 prophecy of dry bones. Ezekiel tells us that the Lord took hold of him, and he was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these dry bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.'"
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
"This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then, skin formed to cover their bodies. But still, they had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the messages as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, oh, my people, you will know that I
and the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and that I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. And surprising many, and angering even more, in May of 1948, the United States and Britain led the United Nations to restore the nation of Israel. The dry bones came back to life in 1948. It was the restoration of Israel that serves as the cornerstone for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the last days. Many believe a prophetic clock began ticking when Ezekiel's dry bones came to life and Israel was restored as a nation. The hour is coming when the rest of Ezekiel's last days prophecies will be fulfilled. Notably, the Bible prophecy makes it clear that despite Israel having a very small population and footprint, the nation would be a cup of trembling and a target for hostilities in the last days. So, on the prophetic timeline, we are in Ezekiel 37, awaiting the prophetic events profiled in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Many believe those events are about to unfold. Let me briefly share what Ezekiel 38 to 39 says is going to happen. I'll first share a summary and then back up and provide more detail. Ezekiel 38 to 39 profiles how Israel will be attacked by a broad and overwhelming coalition of hostile forces. These forces are led by the biblically symbolic name God, who is also referred to as the Prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. This coalition hates Israel and attacks with overwhelming military assets, advancing on Israel from the far north. Enemy forces will mercilessly attack. Their dual purpose is to plunder and loot and annihilate the people of Israel. Ezekiel notes the decisive battlefield will be the mountains of Israel, which have long been desolate. When Israel's destruction seems imminent, God will intervene and bring about a decisive victory by sending torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur down on the advancing army. God desires that through this clearly supernatural victory, many will be brought to faith in him. Ezekiel 38, verse 23 notes, I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Okay, let's look at this important, potentially near future prophecy in more detail. The Ezekiel 38 prophecy begins, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Gog, of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Okay, thus far we see that God is angry with the plans and actions of certain groups, being led by Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Ezekiel writes these sobering words, from God to God, I am against you. The text notes that evil players are led by Gog, and as we will see, though conspire to plan to destroy Israel, God will use their malice and, like Pharaoh of old, harden their hearts, and lure them to Israel, and there, supernaturally, destroy them, as a sign and witness to the world that he alone is Lord, and the prophecies in the Bible are true. Ezekiel then describes what it will be like for Israel. He calls enemy forces hordes, and notes that Israel will be surrounded. He writes, All the hordes will be gathered about you. You will be called to arms. In verse 9, we read that the enemy forces will advance like a storm, and that it will be like a cloud covering the land. Vivid, sobering word imagery. Verses 10 to 12 provide additional insights into why these nations will attack. The verse also provides insights as to the when. Ezekiel notes two primary reasons for the attack. The first is arrogance and pride. Note how many times the phrase "I will" is used. It is the same phrase both Ezekiel and Isaiah use to describe the pride of Satan, who, in ages past, said, "I will raise my throne above the throne of God." Beginning in verse 10, we read, "On that day, you will devise an evil scheme. You will say, 'I will invade a land of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates and bars. I will plunder and loot and turn my hand against the resettled, people gathered from the nations.' The enemy will attack because he hates Israel and, in pride, believes he can prevail against the nation God has vowed to restore and use in the last days. There is pride, there is arrogance, and there is a deep desire to subvert God's prophetic plan. So, what are believers to do today? I have 7 points I would like to share. First and foremost, we are not to live in fear, but we are to live with our hope and faith in Jesus Christ. Next, we are to see that Bible prophecy is true and use it, as we can, as a witnessing tool. Regarding the Gog-Magog War, believers can look to headlines regarding coalitions being formed, threats being made, and economic needs heightening, all of which could set the stage for this epic conflict. Believers are to share the warning signs with unbelievers so that when the prophecy unfolds as predicted, skeptics will be brought to faith. Point number 3. Believers are to understand that the Ezekiel 38-39 Gog-Magog War is different from the Battle of Armageddon. Though both depict coalition forces attacking Israel and God supernaturally intervening to bring about a surprise victory. Next, the people groups listed in Ezekiel reference geographic locations, titles, and have spiritual overtones. Gog, for example, is a descendant of Noah in Genesis 10, a title meaning chief or head, and a metaphor for evil. We see this in Ezekiel 38 and in Revelation 20. Point number 5. The spiritual, symbolic nature of some of the terms listed in Ezekiel 38 is highlighted in that there will be two wars associated with the terms Gog and Magog. The first is the war profiled in Ezekiel 38-39, and the second, profiled in Revelation 20, will take place at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Point number 6. The Gog-Magog War will happen just before or just after the rapture of the church, at the beginning of the 7-year tribulations period. And point number 7. Believers should monitor world developments and do exactly what the Bible says, which is to watch and pray. Today, one can see that the stage is being set for the final conflicts profiled in the book of Ezekiel, Matthew, and Revelation. Jesus said believers should be watchful, prayerful, and busy about the Father's business.